Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
This is Total Information AM on KMOX. I'm Megan Lynch. Artificial intelligence technology now listening in on some medical appointments. It's so doctors don't have to spend so much time typing up notes. We wanted to learn more about this ambient listening tool because it may make some of you uncomfortable. Joining me now is Dr. Tyler Fitch, Chief Medical Information Officer for OSF Healthcare Point Corps. Dr. Fitch, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Explain for our listeners how this technology works.
Yeah, so if you're a patient and you're entering into one of our clinics that has this technology deployed, you'll start by getting asked at the front desk if you're okay that we use a new technology that listens into our appointment that helps the doctor listen to you better. And then if you consent to that, during the appointment, the physician will take out their cell phone and they will hit a button that's just basically a big microphone and it starts recording. And then instead of having to type while they're working with the patient, being worried about finishing a note that'll have to be done by the end of the day, they'll be able to have a face-to-face conversation with the technology on in the background. And then in a matter of seconds after the conversation is over, most of their note is completed. So it's really quite magical for doctors who spend about 40% of their time doing this type of work in documentation.
Tell us more about that, because I recall a conversation I had some years ago with a friend of ours who was a physician, and he talked about just how much time it does take to transcribe notes and make sure that everything he needs to have in those records get in.
Yeah, if you talk to doctors, they'll probably, most of them will tell you something similar. Back before all this electronic stuff, you could just make some scratch to yourself on a piece of paper that wouldn't leave your office so that you were reminded for what was going on for the next appointment. But as we've gotten things into the technology age and everybody can read those notes, everybody has interests in what it says. So whether it's the insurance company who wants justification for the billing service provided, or if it's another doctor who's going to be reading it to communicate information, or of course at OSF, all our patients can immediately see the notes that the physicians read. So you have to take into consideration the patient impression. There's just a lot of inputs into what makes a note now. And so it had gone from something that was a smaller portion of the time to really, we have physicians that before we were doing some of this pilot, were spending hours after their workday completing these notes. Electronic medical system for our health system is Epic, and Epic tracks this. They call it kind of cheekily, they call it pajama time, and our physicians spend a lot of pajama time doing these notes. And so the goal of the technology like this is to really reduce that and both improve the physician satisfaction, but also improve those patient encounters.
Now, is this an actual transcript of the conversation, or does this technology boil this down into something like bullet points, for example?
Yeah, it's not a transcript. The software we use is loosely based on the OpenAI's GPT technology. There's others out there that use different technologies, but it takes the recording, the back and forth, the information, and then it really distills that information into the form that you would see in a typical doctor note. So, for example, we may be having a conversation about a recent vacation somebody went on, and that's obviously not pertinent to the, well, I guess unless unless they got some type of infection. But most of the time, that's not going to be pertinent to the conversation. So what happens is that chit-chat is filtered out when the final note is completed, and it really is in the form and content a doctor would need to communicate something so the receivers can take that information and get it quickly. So you don't have to weed through a full transcript. You really get the strong output just as if the doctor had written it.
We talk a lot about privacy on the station because we talk a lot about technology. You mentioned patients have to give consent. Do they have to give consent each appointment?
Yeah, right now, with this technology being new, we want to be sure we're both upfront with patients about it, and we want to make sure we're compliant with all laws. Most of our hospitals are in Illinois, and Illinois has a couple laws that implicate technologies like this. That's the Eavesdropping Act and a Bioinformation Privacy Act. And so with these laws, we're really making sure that we're not doing anything that patients wouldn't expect. So we're very upfront, and we do require consent. Some other states potentially have taken a different approach, but this, especially as it's new and as we're having patients need to understand the technology and understand the benefits really to them and their caretaker care providers, we are erring on the side of over-consenting, and we are asking patients to do that each time. I could see that potentially changing as this becomes more commonplace, you know, in other settings like hospitals or emergency departments. But right now, it's just in our clinics, and we are consenting each time.
What have you found as you've been going through this pilot about the accuracy of the system?
So we initially started with a smaller group of about 35 providers, and we were getting a lot of feedback directly, one-to-one, and asking them each, you know, what are you experiencing? What are you seeing in your notes? And really, we found it is exceedingly accurate. Most notes don't need any edits. Really, the responsibility is the physicians to sign it, so we're not taking something that AI made and dropping it straight into the chart. It does need to be reviewed, and it still is the physicians to own in the end. But they are very accurate. And really, when you think about what we're comparing this to, you got to be thinking about those physicians that are still doing notes at 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, trying to remember something that happened at 10 a.m. So a lot of the docs said it's actually more accurate and more detailed than the notes they were writing prior. So not only does it help them save time, but it makes it's a better reflection of what actually happened during the visit.
I'm talking with Dr. Tyler Fitch. He is Chief Medical Information Officer for OSF Healthcare Point Core. We're talking about artificial intelligence listening technology in doctors' offices. Let's talk about security. How do you make sure that this system is secure and that patients' information isn't able to be accessed by a hacker?
Yeah, that's a great point and something we take very seriously. With all your PHI, we call it, your patient health information, we do not allow any of it on public servers. So we did a whole workforce education where we told everybody, do not put patient information in ChatGPT or Grok or Anthropic or all these other tools. You do not, just like you don't put it public facing on Facebook or something like that, you don't put it in these tools. We don't want them using patient information. So what we have with this software and really any other software that we're running, they're on isolated servers. We have excellent track record of security, but as everybody I'm sure that's up on the news in healthcare is aware, it's very common that hackers try to get this information. This information is basically as secure as we have of any other healthcare information for our patients, and it's safe away from also the public training data. So it's just like the note is within your Epic chart or your My chart. This information is within this software, and it doesn't go outside that.
You mentioned the public training data. I'm assuming you're talking about platforms like ChatGPT that pull in from a lot of different sources to better train their models.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to. These models come from a lot of publicly available data, whether it's news sites or online forums, and that information then can sometimes leak out when you ask it questions. This public, this private patient information is not going to be a part of those training data, so it would not leak out in those models.
You mentioned eventually using it in other settings, for example, emergency rooms. You know, what's your vision of how this could help patients and help the delivery of medicine in the future?
Yeah, right now, this was the biggest quick win we could get. We know our physicians in the offices are suffering from burnout and working at all hours. And so this was a very obvious first powerful use case. But the other use cases we have are in the hospital, may even be for not just physicians, but nurses. So say a nurse is taking care of a patient at bedside and has all the isolation for flu or COVID and is covered in gowns and is hard to do things. If you're able to just say what you're doing in the room and speak it out loud to something that's a similar listening device, all that charting and that patient physical exam and that the vitals and things can flow potentially directly into the system. And that's another example we're looking at. And there may be other technologies that we could benefit in the hospital setting too. So patients being able to order just like you would order something off of Alexa. You could order your diet, your food through. You could ask questions about your care team. We see a lot of AI in the hospital room in the future, but there's a lot more involved to get that to happen. So there's a lot of promise here, but initially we're seeing excellent results in the office.
Dr. Fitch, I know I've had you on a while. One last question for you. As a patient, everybody's always concerned about the costs of medicine. When you look at the cost of a technology like this for a health system, give us a cost-benefit analysis. Is this going to boost the prices for patients, or ultimately will this help streamline maybe some of the costs?
Yeah, as a large healthcare organization with more than 2,000 providers providing care, deploying something like this to everybody is expensive. However, what we're seeing, we have 2 million office visits a year. If this saves 3 to 5 minutes per appointment, we're going to be able to open up access. Patients are potentially going to have more availability with their doctors. That will increase revenue, but we're really looking at this as initially as a provider and patient benefit. And then as we get further out from this initial deployment, we'll be studying the cost even greater.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate all your time on this.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Again, that is Dr. Tyler Fitch, Chief Medical Information Officer for OSF Healthcare, Point Core, joining us this morning on Total Information AM.